In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 10th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, being at the feet of Jesus with Mary is where you want to be. We've seen it twice already in the past month. Recently, there was a man possessed by a number of demons, Legion, who would run around naked, living in tombs. But when Jesus sent the demons into the herd of pigs, leaving the man clothed and in his right mind, the villagers found him sitting at the feet of Jesus. And before that, it's Mary Magdalene, a woman of the city who was a sinner, who, having heard that Jesus had come to the Pharisee's home, came with an alabaster flask of ointment and weeping, wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, kissing them, anointing them with oil. Today, it's another Mary gathered at the feet of Jesus. And though gathering at the feet of Jesus is a lonely way, Jesus says today that Mary has chosen the good portion, and it shall not be taken from her. In contrast to Mary, we find Martha. And in many ways, Martha is the one that I think is far easier for us to relate to. Like us, Martha's busy. With company over, there is loads to do, cooking and cleaning and serving and giving, all in the way of hospitality. And what's more relatable, of course, than in the midst of such busyness, getting frustrated with someone just sitting around? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. It's all so human, isn't it? So real. So much like us. So who are Mary and Martha? Well, famously, they're the sisters of Lazarus, of course. You know, the guy that Jesus raised from the dead? When Lazarus had died and Jesus approached, it was Martha running to him and saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even though I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And having confessed her hope in the resurrection on the last day, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This brings Martha to confess, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world. While all of that is going on, Mary stayed in the house, weeping. But when she heard that Jesus had called for her, she rose quickly, and she went to him. And falling at his feet, she said, Lord, if you would not have been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her tears, he too was deeply moved. And when he came to the tomb and see where they had laid him, Jesus wept. The Jews all said, see how he loved him. But shortly after this Lazarus episode, where Jesus called him out of the tomb, 4 days dead and back to life again, Jesus joins Mary, Martha, and Lazarus for another meal. Again, Martha hard at work, Lazarus reclining at the table, Mary with a pound of expensive ointment at Jesus' feet again, anointing them and wiping them with her hair. This time it's Judas who reprimands her. Jesus, however, defends Mary yet again. Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me. That's Mary. That's Martha. Martha, faithful, but distracted with much serving. And Mary, always at the feet of Jesus. The problem in the text, though, is not Martha's serving. It's not a bad thing to do dishes. or cook a meal, or feed guests. Not at all. It is good to love and to serve your neighbor. Those are good, godly things. But Martha makes a mistake here. She thinks that she is the host of all of this, and Jesus is the guest. How easy it is to make that mistake. That is our default, right? Our default way of thinking, that I've got to do something. I've got to be busy with something. I have to fill my schedule with something. I mean, look around at how busy you are each and every week. And our technology only makes it easier to be busy with more things more often. But as our Lord says later in St. Luke's Gospel, who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. See, we've got it all backwards. We think it is about us and our serving, how we can serve God and what we can do for God. But Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. Jesus is the servant among us. He is the host, and we are his guests. But like I said, we get this backward even in our services. We think sometimes that church is all about us and how we come to worship God, what we can do, what songs we can sing, how much offering we can give. What can we do for God? But the beauty of the liturgy, the beauty of the divine service, is that it sets before our eyes that we are the guests, and Jesus is the Lord, the servant, and the master of all. The church is not primarily about how we can worship God or what we can do for him, but rather it is all about God's service here in our midst to us. He is the giver, and we are the receivers. He is the host, and we his guests. He is the one who is serving up the meal of his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and we are the ones reclining at his table, receiving it in holy joy and love. He is the preacher, and we are the hearers. He is the baptizer, and we are the baptized. He is the Lord and master of us all, and we are citizens of his kingdom. But if we get that backwards, if we change the order of it all, if worship is about what we do for God and what he receives from us, then who knows whether you'll ever have served well enough, long enough, or to the best of your ability. Is there any rest in that? Is there any joy in that? Is there any comfort or certainty in that? No. When it's about you serving, you doing, you giving, you providing, then the only thing you're left with is Martha's frustration and disdain, always judging those who are sitting around and seemingly doing less than you are. Well, you are busy doing all the work. Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving from him the preaching and teaching, the gifts from his lips, Jesus commends her. She has chosen the better portion. And with her, there is joy. With her, there is comfort. With her, there is certainty, because all of it rests squarely not on her shoulders, but rests solely and squarely on Jesus and Jesus alone. This is true worship of our God. Our confessions say it this way: faith is the divine service that receives the benefits offered by God. God wants to be worshipped through faith so that we receive from him those things which he promises and offers. And then it is from these promises, these gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, that we are able to step out of the doors of our sanctuary and love and serve our neighbor as Christ has loved us. St. John says it this way: we love because he first loved us and gave his son as a propitiation for our sins. Our post-communion liturgy says it this way: we give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Our service, our works, our mercy, our love toward others all depend entirely on receiving from Jesus what he has to give to us, first and foremost. Tell me, how do you expect to forgive others when you yourself aren't hearing and receiving the forgiveness of sins? You cannot give what you have not first received and what has not been given to you. So let us this day and every Lord's Day join St. Mary at the feet of Jesus, choosing the better portion as hearers, as receivers, as delighters in the gifts that he gives us. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good, that his portion which he gives flows freely from his cross and empty tomb. Let us receive forgiveness, life, and everlasting salvation here in word and sacrament, and with joy, let us rest securely knowing that he will not be taken from us. In Jesus' name, amen.